يا مصطفى the chosen one صلى الله عليه وسلم يا مصطفى the chosen one صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Medani Nation, we once again welcome you in our program Al-Mustafa, the Chosen One. Inshallah, today we'll be talking about migration of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Amazing accounts relating this great migration which happened. Inshallah, today we'll be talking. Be with us from start till end. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make a few good intentions. Because my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, gives us a beautiful mindset. We should not forget to make good intentions before performing any good deed or any permissible task. As we are presenting this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, so we should make as many good intentions as possible in order to attain reward. And remember, the more intentions you make, the higher the reward you attain. I make this intention, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, you can also make intention that you will watch from start to end, remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too. Today we've got our brother Wasim Abbas with us, inshallah. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah. Wasim Abbas bhai, marhaba once again.
Jazakallah, sir.
Jazakallahu khaira. Today, topic is migration of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
SubhanAllah.
We're talking about seerah of Mustafa alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is the continuation of those programs that we've covered before. And migration itself is a beautiful topic which is covered by all ulama of seer, those they have written seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and they have brought this topic into the seerah of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The main two migrations that happened
indeed
in the life of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam after the declaration of prophethood. One was towards Habsha, Abyssinia, and the second was towards Medina, at present, which is known as Madinatul Nabi. Zadahallahu sharfan wa ta'azima. I think we should discuss the very first migration, which was towards Abyssinia, Habsha, and then we should cover migration of Medina. I know time is too short, we won't be able to cover all the accounts relating to this topic, but as much as possible, we'll try to give information to the viewers of Madani Shah. This is something in our history. We should watch this program. We should ask our family members, they can join, and we should know what had happened, how Sahaba Ikram faced those problems and troubles, tribulations, and how they left their own home, their own abode, and they migrated to another city. It's not very easy. Inshallah, we're going to discuss that. First of all, the very first question I would like to ask, how hard it is to leave your home, to leave your home country which you love, okay, and especially if in case you're doing it just for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, right? You've got your business, you've got your house, your assets, each and everything that belongs to that city, and most importantly your affection, your love with that city where you were born and you live there, and you're not migrating for financial reasons, you're not migrating to earn this worldly luxuries, or you're not migrating for this dunya, but you are migrating only for the reason that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has ordered you to abandon, to leave your own home, your own home city, your town, and you are leaving your business behind, your family behind, your house behind. What do you say? How hard it is to do? First of all, this is something we need to understand before we talk about migration.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In terms of the hardships that one faces when, of course, migrating from one place to other place, Of course, from no aspect it would be any easy task, something easy, as you would also be familiar with the fact, as if we take our own example, just shifting houses from one place to the other within the same borough. I'm not talking about going to another city, just from one place to another place, we know how difficult it is to shift, whereas we're not having to leave our worldly possessions away. And especially in terms of migrating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you mentioned, that this migration was not for any worldly gain. We're talking about shifting from one house to the other, keeping all of our worldly gains with us. Or why do we shift? It is for betterment of this dunya. Or if we shift to another country, it's mainly for job purposes or for financial gains. But when we talk about these two migrations in particular that we're talking about today, it was not, one aspect is that they did not migrate for the sake of this dunya, but this wasn't the only sacrifice that they made. They migrated, leaving all the worldly possessions they had behind. They sacrificed all their wealth, all their businesses, all their houses, everything that they had, they left behind, and they migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is not something easy. It's easy for us to say that verbally, but when it comes to practically act upon it and migrate upon the command of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, leaving all your luxuries, your wealth, your family, your houses, your businesses, well-established businesses behind, it's not that easy. So in terms of hardship, we cannot measure the element of hardship that is involved in this migration. It is beyond our comprehension. They left behind everything, bearing all the difficulties.
So the beauty here is I would like to add the same point here, that Sahaba Ikram alayhi ridwan, upon the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they migrated. Now, look at the steadfastness of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are talking about abandoning their own possessions, their life, their home, their family, and everything they left. But on the other hand, kuffar of that time, the disbelievers, they had offered Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself that if you stop propagating the message of Islam, that we would give you wealth if you need wealth. We would marry the most beautiful woman of this city. If you want, we can do that. So whatever you need, we can provide you. But Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's reply was that if you put one in my one hand, sun, and on the other hand, moon, I will not stop propagating the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Tawheed of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this is, here we understand, rather they were offered.
Indeed.
They were offered the comforts, they were offered the luxuries. Okay, and if Sahaba Ikram not accepted Islam, they had no problem whatsoever.
Yeah. They were living the luxuries of life. Luxuries of this world in their feet.
Right. Everything was with them. Okay, they faced problems, faced life threat after accepting the message of Deen Islam.
Indeed.
And that was the thing which eventually, subhanAllah, they even left their home, their family members, their possessions, their wealth, their everything, and they migrated upon the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is one of the reasons why some of the Sahaba ikram of that time, they possess high status.
Indeed.
Because they migrated for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu is known as a person who migrated twice upon the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So first of all, if we come towards Hijrat of Habsha, the first migration, I would like to ask you that what were the circumstances of that time? What was the condition of Muslims at that time? And then upon the order of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, how did they migrate? And what are some of the accounts relating to that Hijrat?
First of all, Rizwanbhai, what we need to understand is that as we discuss about these migrations, these journeys were symbol of loyalty, symbol of devotion, symbol of love, symbol of steadfastness, which the blessed companions, alayhim ridwan, they showed in this path. And as you mentioned, that those companions who embraced Islam in the very early days, they are more superior to those who embraced Islam afterwards. And those companions are referred to as as-sabiqun al-awwalun.
True.
And it was because of them embracing Islam, especially in the very early days of Islam, that's when the disbelievers of Makkah, they started to oppress them, they started to tyrannize them and inflict different kind of severities upon them. And it came to an extent where it became very difficult for them to live peacefully or to survive. And it was at this point where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the Muslims to migrate to Abyssinia, to Ethiopia. And when this command was given, initially there were 15 companions alayhim ridwan who migrated upon the call of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 11 were men and 4 were women, 15 altogether. And the king of Ethiopia, of Abyssinia, his name was Ashama. This was his name. But his title was known as Najashi, the Najashi king. And he himself was a disbeliever, but he was very just. And he was an illustrious scholar of the Torah and the Injil. So the companions who migrated in the fifth year of the declaration of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's prophethood, the 15 companions who migrated, amongst them were Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, his wife Sayyidatuna Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Abu Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his wife Sahla bint Suhail radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Abu Salma and his wife Sayyidatuna Umm Salma, Sayyidina Amir bin Rabi'ah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his wife Sayyidatuna Layla bint Abi Hashma radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un, Sayyidina Abu Sabra bin Abi Rahm, or Sayyidina Hatib bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Suhail bin Baida radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So these were those 15 companions who migrated upon the first command of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the disbelievers of Mecca, they came to know that these companions of the Prophet, they are migrating to Ethiopia, they went in their pursuit, they went to chase them, but the companions that already boarded the ship, because there was a sea journey that had to be traversed through in order to reach Ethiopia. So the blessed companions that already boarded the ship and the disbelievers, they couldn't reach there in time. So those companions, they safely reached Ethiopia. And as they reached Ethiopia, then of course they were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were living in peace. But in the meantime, a news spread like fire spreads in jungle that the disbelievers of Makkah, they have embraced Islam. So upon this, of course, the companions who had migrated to Ethiopia, you can imagine how happy they would have become that we can now go back to our hometown and we can live our life just as before. So they come back because of this rumor being spread all around. So when they come back, they find out that it was just a rumor. It was a false news. So many of them, they returned back, but some of them, they stayed in Mecca and they secretly lived over there. But the disbelievers, they started to oppress them even more and more now. And now the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he commanded again the Muslims to migrate to Ethiopia. And this time around, there were 101 companions who traveled all together, migrating again to Ethiopia. Now, when this happened, the disbelievers, they couldn't take this, that how come this is possible that they have migrated again. So what they did was, the disbelievers sent an envoy of this to Ethiopia, to the king Najashi, which was led by Amr bin As and Ammar bin Walid. And what they did was, they took some gifts with them to flatter Najashi king. So they went to his court, presented him with the gifts, and as per the tradition there, they ma'adallah prostrated to him. And now after that, giving him the gifts, doing ma'adallah sajda in front of him, they complained to him that, O king, some of our wanted people have been given refuge in your country, so please hand them over to us. So this is the complaint that they present in Najashi king's court. So listening to it, now, King Najashi, as we said earlier, he was very just king. So what he did was, he called the Muslims so he could also get their point of view as well. So from the side of, from Muslim side, Alhamdulillah, Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala, the brother of Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he comes to hold these talks, to negotiate, to present the Muslims' point of view in the court of Najashi king. So when he comes, now, The custom at that time was that whoever goes in the court of the king, he would prostrate to the king. But Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how could he do this? He did not do that. And he said salam. And the people, they of course objected to it. But Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from performing sajda to anyone except Allah Almighty. Hence, I cannot perform sajda in front of the king. Now, Rizwan Bhai, after this, the sermon that Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered in the court of Najashi King, that is something that is written in golden words in the history of Islam. Sure. That is something that touched deeply the heart of Najashi King. Sure. After all, who was he? He was Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the brother of Mawla Mushkil Kusha Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. What sermon did he deliver? He said that, O King, we were an ignorant nation, polytheist and idol worshippers. We had indulged in various misdeeds such as robbing, stealing, oppressing. Allah Almighty has sent a prophet who is already known amongst us for his lineage, truthfulness and trustworthiness. This prophet has prevented us from polytheism and idolatry and has ordered us to worship only one Almighty. He has also prohibited us from every type of cruelty, oppression, evil and misdeed. We have believed in that prophet, given up polytheism and idolatry and have repented of all evil acts. This is our only crime and our nation has become our deadly enemy for the same reason. These people have tortured us to such an extent that we have left our own country and are living a peaceful life under your kingship. These people now want to force us to indulge in the same previous state of deviation, meaning moving away from guidance. Now these words which Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered, Najashi King, he was deeply impressed by this. Now, noticing this, when Amr bin As, he realized that, you know, their tactics are not working on the king, he played another trick. What did he say? He said that, O king, these people say, Ma'adallah, they hold different opinion regarding your prophet, Isa alayhi salam. So he tried to misguide him through this tactic as well. Now, when he said this, then Najashi, he asked Ja'far, Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu about it. So Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited Surah Maryam. He recited Surah Maryam, and when Najashi king, he heard Surah Maryam being recited, he felt a deep effect on his heart and he was overwhelmed and there were tears in his eyes. This is the kalam of Rabb Ta'ala from the tongue of Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that touched the heart of Najashi king. And Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu further said that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is a bondsman and a prophet of Allah Almighty. And Sayyidatuna Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha gave birth to Isa alayhi salam and no one was his father. This is a sign of divine omnipotence, divine power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now Najashi king, he was listening to Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu very attentively. And he said, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is certainly a bondsman and a prophet of Allah Almighty. And I testify that that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is undoubtedly the same prophet of Allah Almighty whose glad tidings has been revealed in the Injil and has been given to us by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. And Najashi king, he went on to say that if I were not bound by the laws of the empire to carry on with my kingship, then I would go to Makkah in person and serve him with my heart and soul. And this all discussion is going on between Najashi king and Sayyidina Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And ultimately, this envoy of the disbelievers of Makkah, they faced embarrassment and they faced defeat in the court of Najashi king. And Najashi king, he said to the Muslims that you people can live peacefully and happily wherever you want in my kingdom. You can worship your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practice your religion. Hence, These words of Ja'far Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had deep effect on the heart of Najashi king, and it is also stated that Najashi king, he also became Muslim. So this was the eminence of those Sahaba who devoted everything of theirs upon the call of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was their eloquence of speech, this was their dignity, the awe that they possessed, that even their words held such effect on the heart of a king that not only he embraced Islam, but also sent away those people, the envoy of the disbelievers who brought those gifts to him. And he allowed the Muslims to stay in his kingdom and practice their religion freely.
Subhanallah. Respected viewers of Brother Inshallah, we're talking about hijrat, we're talking about migration. We'll come back inshallah onto this topic and further discuss. Now, It's the time to include one segment that is chosen sunnah. Let's go towards that. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Respective viewers of Madani Channel, today this chosen sunnah we've got for you is dignified speech. He, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, would speak slowly and calmly with incredible dignity, allowing any listener to count the number of sentences if he wished to. SubhanAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, whenever we should speak, so we should remember this beautiful way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should speak clearly so other person can understand what we are saying, and SubhanAllah, we should speak with dignity. Today we are talking about migration of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. There are so many accounts relating to Hijrat. And the first migration, as explained, was towards Abyssinia, and the second was towards Madinatul Nabi, Zadahullahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima. Masib al-Masb, would you like to explain any of the account of the first migration, or you would like to move towards the second one?
SubhanAllah, there are many, many accounts, Rizwan Bey. As I mentioned earlier, that as we'll be going through these migrations, not only will we be talking about the determination, the perseverance of the best companions of Imam Ridwan, but at the same time, we also come to know regarding the eminence and virtues of those blessed companions, Ali Muridwan, and also these journeys became a means of some companions embracing of Islam. During, again, this journey of Abyssinia, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and he radiallahu ta'ala also set on the path of this migration, but he was stopped at a certain place by a certain individual, and when he asked him regarding his journey, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala told him that but because of the oppressions of the disbelievers, I am
going to somewhere where I could worship Allah with
worship
peace.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where he started to praise Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, know that you are the supporters of the poor,
you do not harm anybody.
Indeed. So you come back and I will take the guarantee of your protection, etc. So upon his insistence, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala comes back, and he said, this individual said to the kuffar of Makkah that I take the responsibility, Abu Bakr is under my refuge, so no one should harm him. And the kuffar, they agreed to him upon this condition that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would not recite Quran openly. As when he recites Quran openly, Abu women and children, they go around him. So upon this condition, they said, he can stay here. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, initially he agreed to it, but he was very anxious in a way from inside, because when he would recite the Holy Quran inside his home, secretly, he was not able to propagate Islam. Now, what would be going through his mind is that the false gods of this, Lat and Uzza, are being worshipped openly. And the true Almighty, Lord Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's being worshipped in secrecy. Now, he started to recite the Holy Quran in the courtyard of his house, which was towards the exterior part of his house. So he started to recite the Holy Quran over there. And now people, the women and children, they started to gather upon the recitation of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Now, the people of Makkah, the kuffar of Quraysh, they couldn't take this, and they went to the same individual again, saying that, you know, you took this guarantee. Now you tell him to, you know, recite it in secrecy. So right. He comes again to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and asks him to carry out his worships in solitude, in privacy. Otherwise, people will harm you, and I can't take responsibility of that. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said that I'm not worried about other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me. Like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Even he was willing to migrate in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at his eminence, that he could not take the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being worshipped in secrecy, in privacy, whereas the false gods are being proclaimed and they are being worshipped openly. So this was his determination as well. And this is also linked to this very first migration as well. And inshallah, Zawajal, now when we move on to the migration of Medina, inshallah, we'll come to know more about his eminence and how fortunate he was and how beloved he was to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.
Muslim Masbi, if we talk about migration towards Medina, right? So before that, there is an account which is mentioned as Conference of Disbelievers. This is a very interesting account and it is written in the history. I think it would be very good for the viewers to notice and note this account, what had happened and how a meeting was called. Indeed. Right, when the disbelievers of Makkah noticed that Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and Muslims had supporters not only in Makkah but also in Medina, Islam was flourishing and alhamdulillah people were accepting Islam and Islam was spreading. Now they feared that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam might also go to Medina and return along with his troops to invade Makkah. So this was their fear. Yusuf Hanishal, therefore, in order to avoid this danger, the disbelievers of Makkah called a conference in the chamber which was attended by each and every thinker, right? Which was attended by any of those intellectuals that were present in that city, they all came. And influential persons of Makkah, they attended that meeting. In particular, Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Utbah, and these were the few names those they attended. And all other leaders of Quraysh attended that conference. The cursed shaitan, now, he came in the shape, right, of an old man wearing a blanket, also reached that chamber. The leaders of Quraysh asked him about his name and family background. So he replied, "I'm a sheikh from Najd. I have come to attend the conference so that I also give my opinion about this matter of yours, what you're discussing." Listening to it, the leaders of Quraysh allowed Shaitan to attend the conference because they thought he is an old person, Shaykh from Najd, so he can also attend. During the conference, Abul Bukhtari suggested detain him in a prison, meaning to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, ma'adallah, with his hands and legs tied and give him food and drink through an opening or some passage, you just pass that food. The Shaykh from Najd, i.e. Shaitan, commented, "It is not good suggestion. Why? Because by God, if you detain him in some house, what will happen? This news will certainly leak out and his loyal devotees, when informed about it, will get him released even by sacrificing their own lives. Now, later, another suggestion was given, exile him from Makkah so that he, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, will go to any other city. In this way, we will get rid of him reciting the Quran and preaching Islam." Listening to it, the Shaykh from Najd turned annoyed and said, "Curse be upon this suggestion of yours. Don't you know how excellent, inspiring, impressive, and effective his preaching is? By Allah," meaning he said, "by God, if you exile him, he will visit the entire Arabia, preaching people about Islam by reciting the Holy Quran. All the tribes will become obedient to him. He will then attack you with a huge army and you will not be able to fight against him. Left with no other option, you will become his slaves. Hence, do not even think of exiling him." Now Abu Jahl said, "Friends, I've come up with an idea which has not yet occurred to anyone else's mind." All of them became attentive and asked him curiously, "What is your opinion?" He continued, "I'm of the opinion that one famous and brave man to be chosen from each and every tribe, together all of them will attack Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with their swords, killing him. In this way, responsibility of murder will not be on the shoulders of one person. That will be on all the tribes. Now obviously, the Banu Hashim will not be able to fight against all the tribes in revenge for the murder. Hence, they will certainly accept blood money, which will be paid by all of us jointly and easily." Listening to this cruel suggestion of Abu Jahl, the Shaykh from Najd, he just screamed out with joy and said, "It is indeed a perfect suggestion. No other suggestion can be acceptable. Therefore, all the attendees of the conference unanimously made this decision. All of them returned to their homes mentioning it. Allah Almighty said in the following ayah of the Holy Quran, the translation is, and O beloved Prophet, remember when the disbelievers conspired against you to restrain you and to martyr you or to banish you, and they were plotting and Allah was executing his concealed plan, and Allah is the best planner." My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this tells us that how scared those disbelievers were from the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They did whatever they could do. They offered money, they offered all luxuries of the life to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not stop propagating the true message of Islam. He continued and people were accepting Islam. Islam was not spreading in Mecca alone, but it was also spreading in Medina as a city. So this made them fear that their Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's as message is getting accepted. So finally, they made a plan. They met Ma'adallah to martyr Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, what had happened after this plan? How did they execute this plan? Inshallah, we'll find out after a little while. This segment is, inshallah, chosen facts. Let's go towards that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Respectfully, the very first question we've got today is, on the Day of Judgment, what will be the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam be riding upon? Answer is on the Buraq. So, another question for you today is, which is the largest and which is the shortest surah of the Holy Quran? Answer is, the largest surah of the Holy Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah, and the shortest one is Surah Al-Kawthar. The third question we've got for you is that on which days is it sunnah to apply kuhl? Answer, it is sunnah to apply kuhl on the days of Friday, Eidul Adha and Eidul Fitr. So these were the few chosen questions what we brought for you. And alhamdulillah, we try to increase knowledge of ourselves. We would like to spread the message to you also, so inshallah, so you can also learn different facts of Islamic history also and knowledge. Respecting views of Madinah, we were talking about migration towards Medina, and before we heard an account which is mentioned regarding that conference which was held, and that plan was made against Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Wasim al-Masbi, after that plan, what had happened? How did Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam left Madinatul Nabi, and how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protected Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? There are many relating accounts. What would you like to share?
SubhanAllah. What we need to understand first of all is that up to now, the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had not migrated. The companions had. Sayyidina Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala was the first one, and then there were other companions.
Towards Medina you're talking about.
Indeed, yes. Right. Now we're talking about the migration of Medina. So Sayyidina Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala was the first one to migrate, and then there were other companions as well who migrated. Those who couldn't migrate, who were they? Either they were the poor companions or the ones who were imprisoned. And the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had not yet migrated because he still had
not... He was not ordered.
He was still not commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to migrate. Now, after this conference, which you just referred to, after this ended and the disbelievers, they went to their homes. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he came in the court of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, brought the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, O beloved, do not go to sleep on your bed tonight. Migrate to Medina. So this is the point where the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has now been commanded to migrate to Medina. So the order, the command...
Because whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does is from the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Indeed.
Indeed. So now the command of migration has been given to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And now the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes to his loyal devotee, the unparalleled devotee, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He alayhi salatu wasalam goes to his house and talks to him and tells him that the command of migration, of migrating, has been given to me. And upon this, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam if he could also accompany him in this journey. But the expressions that he used was addressing to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that may my parents be sacrificed upon you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me the honor of also accompanying you, etc., etc. These are beautiful expressions. When we read through them, we are reading about the migration over here, but as you're reading them, the love of the Prophet is even embedded further in our hearts through these beautiful words, the expressions that Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala uses over here. Now imagine whose words we are quoting in a different language. The effect of those words is such that the love of Prophet is enhancing, is increasing in our hearts. Imagine the status and dignity of that personality himself. To what level that would be. So he presents his plea in the court of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to let him also accompany the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam during this historical journey of migration. And the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gives him the permission of coming along with him during this journey. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had been preparing few she-camels from past 4 months. He'd been feeding them for this very purpose. So when the time comes, we can use these she-camels in this journey. So now the time had come, and he presented those she-camels in the court of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to accept them from him for this journey.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will pay.
Allahu Akbar. He unwillingly but respectfully agreed, and of course accepted it. Now, when they were ready to go, there was one disbeliever, Abdullah bin Uraqat, and this was the individual who knew the ways. He was an expert in these ways. So the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he hired this person so that he could take the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu through those ways which other people wouldn't know of, and they can safely migrate towards Medina. So all these arrangements were made, and Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam hired Abdullah bin Uraqat, and he himself came back to his blessed home. So up to now, the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, all the provisions are ready, the rides are ready, and Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has come back to his home.
We'll continue from there, Wasim Abbasma, inshallah. Respect viewers of Madinah Channel, stay tuned. This interesting, fascinating account of migration is being discussed. So be with us, inshallah. We'll continue where we stopped. It's time to include one segment, that is a chosen message. Let's listen that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, says that I was the 10th person to present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Some Ansari Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala who inquired, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who is wise and respected person amongst people? It was replied, the one who remembers death the most and prepares for it the most. These are the people who are wise because they depart with the honor of this world and hereafter. Just imagine that we haven't heard this hadith. Someone comes and asks, who is intelligent in the world? We will reply, those people who have a lot of money. The one who is wealthy, who has position, who has status, who has cars, and has bungalows. He has money wherever he wants to go. He can go there. You can just count all those things which can be replied against this question. We will say that he is an intelligent person. He is a successful person. But in fact, he wouldn't offer single time prayer. He would tell lies. He would bribe. He would break promises. He would take in trust. He wouldn't be trustworthy. He would sell alcohol. He would drink alcohol. He would distribute alcohol. He would do the business of alcohol. But because he is wealthy and he has money, then before us he is an intelligent person. Unfortunately, we think this way. And unfortunately, this person is respected in society because he has money with him. I'm not condemning to people who are wealthy, although there is no appreciation mentioned for a wealthy person. But here in specific, I'm addressing to those people who have earned money through haram means. And they are keep on earning through haram means. But in front of us, they are known as respected individuals. And we ask our kids that they should make them friends in order to become successful because they are respectable and wise people of society. We don't ask our children to make friendship with those people who are pious, who offer salah, hafiz al-Quran, imam masjid, the one who acts upon madani in'amat, travels in madani qafila. Because we think if they make these people their friends, then they are going to die with hunger. You will notice a great number who is lost in the love of this world don't offer salah. They are unemployed. But you will find those less unemployed who are serving for deen in Islam.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Shalom, very heart-touching message. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq to act upon whatever we learn from these messages. Today we're talking about migration of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam towards Medina. Wasim Basbi, let's continue the account with Subhanallah.
As you mentioned during the account of the conference, the disbelievers had made a plan to ma'adallah martyr the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So now they had besieged the house of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And what their plan was to ma'adallah martyr the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after he had gone asleep. And at that moment of time, it was only Sayyidina Mawla Mushkil Kusha, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was with the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his house. And the disbelievers, they although were bitter enemies of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but they knew that Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the most trustworthy person. He is the most honest person.
Sadiq
and Amin. And to the extent that many disbelievers, they had given so many things of this as an entrustment to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that O Ali, go to sleep on my bed, covering your body with my shawl. And after I have left, give all the entrusted things to the Quraysh and come to Medina.
Subhanallah.
So these are the instructions that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Go to sleep on my bed, cover yourself with my shawl, and in the morning, give all the entrusted things to their respective owners, and then come to Medina.
All are interested.
Now, Rizwan bhai, one thing you need to understand over here is that they're your enemies outside the house. They've set a siege. They're waiting for you. They're ma'adallah there to martyr
they're
you.
After your life.
They're after your life. You can imagine how critical and fearful this condition is, this situation is. Any person, he would be scared over here. He'll be feared. He would be full of fear over here.
Just like sacrificing for someone else.
Indeed.
Your own life.
But Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, it is narrated, it is stated in the books of history that he was absolutely, he was perfectly in peace over here. He had no fear whatsoever. And he was sure that he would stay alive and he would reach Medina. Why?
Because Rasulullah said.
Because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that Ali, go to sleep on my bed. After giving everything, the entrusting belongings to everyone, come to Medina. He knew that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had said this to me, so I will reach Medina. So despite there being a siege outside the house, despite all these circumstances,
this was his belief.
His belief. It is stated that he slept on that bed as if he slept on the bed of roses. He slept a peaceful sleep, and he radiallahu ta'ala anhu had no fear whatsoever. And after the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he made Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu go sleep on his bed. What he sallallahu alayhi wasalam did was, he took a handful of soil and he left his house, and he reciting the opening verses of Surah Yasin, he threw that dust, the soil, onto the heads of the disbelievers who had besieged the house. And they didn't even realize, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left from there. And one of the disbelievers who wasn't over there at that moment of time, when he came to know about Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam leaving from there, he went to those disbelievers and said that the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's left from here. You didn't even realize. He threw soil on your heads. And when they scrolled their fingers on their heads, they realized that there was dust on their heads. So this is how the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left from there in front of those people. They didn't even realize that the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had left in front of them. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu start this journey of migration towards the Medina, which was the most remarkable and historical migration in the history of the mankind. And over here now comes further eminence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when they went to the cave of Thor during this journey, because the disbelievers, they were in their pursuit, they were chasing them. Then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had realized that the blessed, delicate feet of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were slightly wounded. So what he did was, he made the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mount on his shoulders.
Subhanallah.
And he went all the way to the cave of Thor. And those fortunate people who have been privileged to visit Madinatul Munawwarah and go to cave Thor, they would understand what it means to climb on cave Thor. It's not an easy task, even in this day and age, with all the provisions, water, everything. It takes a lot of courage to climb to onto cave of Thor.
And but having known the fact of the age of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar, and also at that time,
around, you know, what age he was at that time, and then through those thorny bushes, and it wasn't a pleasant path anyways. He had Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mount on his shoulders.
Subhanallah.
And went all the way to the cave Thor.
Subhanallah. Beautiful. We will continue from there. It's a time to include one segment in our program, that is chosen wazaif. Let's go towards that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu.
Respect viewers of Madani Shen, the very first wazifa today we would like to share with you, that is Ya Muhaiminu. Ya Muhaiminu. Whoever recites this word 29 times daily, he will be saved from all misfortunes and calamities, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second wazifa for you, Ya Mu'minu. Whoever recites this 115 times and blows upon himself, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, he will attain health. So you shall recite these beautiful wazif, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, to gain the mentioned blessings. Respecting viewers of Madani Shen, today we are talking about migration towards Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfa wa Ta'azima. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam blessed that city. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam entered that city, which was known as Yathrab before, and because of the presence of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that city became Madinatul Nabi. We're talking about migration from Mecca to Medina. Insha'Allah. And Wasim Abbas, by beautiful account, we came up to Ghare Thor. And that cave of Thor, when we talk about, subhanAllah, a faith refreshing account of an Ashiqi Rasul, of a devotee of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who was lost in the love of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam. These Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, they were ready to sacrifice their own lives for the sake of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, when they reached to that cave, subhanAllah, ulama, they've mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was requested to stay out. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu requested, and he went inside. First he cleaned all the cave, subhanAllah, because it was the matter of the comfort of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It was responsibility of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, because he was more concerned about the protection of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And it is also mentioned sometimes when they were going towards Medina, sometimes Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an would walk towards the front. He would walk at front. Sometimes he would come back and he would walk behind, sometimes from right, sometimes from left. And when he was asked for this reason, so he said that I'm just imagining if someone could harm from the front or from the back, that's why I keep on shifting the places. Allahu Akbar. This was the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as sahabi companion Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala. And the most important fact for him was the protection of this subhanAllah moon of prophethood, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now first of all, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu went inside the cave, cleaned all the cave. And you know, sometimes in cave there are small holes also, so there remains a fear that any insect could come out and harm. So he tried to fill all the holes first. Whatever was available, you see, the clothes or something, he filled those holes. And he called Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam inside the cave. Now as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came inside, Aqa alayhi salatu wa sallam put his blessed head on the thigh of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu notices that one hole is still there, which was left from filling. So Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu put his, subhanAllah, some of them they've written their heel on top of that, and he covered that hole. And now what happens? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam closes his blessed eyes. Allahu Akbar. And there was one snake who was waiting from long time to have the blessed vision of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He knew that one day the last Prophet of Allah will come. And he was also devotee of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to have vision of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He was waiting there for long. And Allahu Akbar, he tried to come from all the holes, but he was unable to come. Finally, he wanted to come from that hole where the heel of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and was, respected viewers of Madani Channel. Now, because now this was the fight between two ushaq, this was the fight between two devotees of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. One was protecting Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and one was there to see, to behold the vision of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now what happens in that fight? The Ashiq Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu wins, and he doesn't leave his heel away. Now finally, the snake bites Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu. Now, as soon as the pain started happening, the tears of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu comes, and after coming down, they went to the blessed cheeks of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opens the blessed eyes and asks, "What has caused harm to you, Umayy Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala?" And he says that something has bitten me. Allahu Akbar. When the foot was removed, he did not move his leg before because he was concerned about the sleep of
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Protection of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now upon the order of Mustafa, when he takes away the heel from that hole, a snake appears from there. Allahu Akbar. Respected viewers of Madinah Channel, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam put his blessed saliva on the heel of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and subhanallah, straight away, immediately he got cured. So this tells us the love of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and there are 2 minutes left. I want one final message from you. Knowing this beautiful account and accounts of migration, what would you like to give to the viewers?
Of course, this journey of migration, which we've tried to cover, of course, we can't do justice.
And there's so much left here in the short span of time.
The way Sahaba Ikram alayhi muridwan, especially Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sacrificed everything of theirs upon the call of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the tests, the difficulties, the trials that they faced remained steadfast upon Islam, and they upheld the flag of Islam in those testing times, then what excuse do we have for not offering our salah today? What excuse do we have for not abiding by the laws of Sharia today? We are living a comfortable life, a peaceful life. So what excuse exactly do we have? We are not being asked to leave all our luxuries and comforts. All we are being asked is to abide by the Sharia. And inshallah, this will be good for us anyways. More blessings will inshallah will prevail in our lives.
MashaAllah, beautiful message. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today. We'll be back same time, same channel. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.